Our Holy Gospel comes from John chapter 18. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So I'm wondering if you have ever seen a rope like this before. These were the kind of ropes that were on my farm when I grew up. Yes, I lived in a small town on a farm very early on in my life. We lived there for probably about 10 years, and I will never forget the one summer that we were doing the beheading of the chickens, I would call it, cleaning out our chicken coop that summer. And so the whole family would come, and of course we as little kids needed a job. So we would take every little piece of something we could find around, put it in the little red wagon, and we'd tie it to the little lawnmower tractor type thing, and we'd tie it together with ropes like this, and off we would go. My brother, who's 5 years older, with my cousin and myself and a bunch of other cousins, and my uncle, who's 5 years older as well. And my uncle was in charge. I love my uncle. So he tied us together and off we went. We would travel miles and connected with a rope like this. And so my uncle started noticing that it would start to unravel. And we were 3 miles from home on this tractor in this wagon. And I'm 5, so I'm not going to walk 3 miles. But I just remember this tension happening in the wagon, in the tractor, everybody trying to figure out, are we going to make it? There was no more playing around the tug of war between tractor and wagon. It was, we had to stay together, stay good so that the rope did not unravel. And I remember my uncle coming back exhausted, hoping that that rope would just not break. That tension that he lived in for those 3 miles was exhausting. It's been that kind of week of remembering in my family as we come to an anniversary of my mother's death, and my uncle actually called, and we talked about this story and so much more, and he shared how worried he was for me, for all of us in that experience together, living in this tension. I'm wondering if that is where Jesus and Pilate and you and I are today, living in this tension with a rope that is just about ready to unravel. Because we have Jesus standing before Pilate in the Gospel of John. Jesus has been arrested. He's now on trial. We know what comes next in the crucifixion. And he stands there and he's being asked by Pilate, who is also standing in this tension that's unraveling around him as he has the Judean religious leaders on one side and the Roman rule on the other, trying to decide what to do with this Jesus, this king. And so we come together today on Christ the King Sunday, Reign of Christ Sunday, and talk about what it looks like for Christ to reign in this world, in our lives. And Jesus, in this back and forth sarcasm or questioning from Pilate, we really don't know what the reason behind it is, except that he's trying to get through this trial. Jesus answers in 3 different ways, talks about 3 different things: the kingdom of God, truth, and what does it mean to be a king? So I asked a lot of people this week, what do they think of when they hear the words kingdom of God? Is it in the world? Is it in heaven? Is it in our hearts? The majority of the time, people said the kingdom of God is heaven. It's a location far from here. Some people said that it is a state of being, of peace, of shalom together. Some people said it's in the here and now, and we have to figure out how to live it out. So we stand here in this importance of understanding who this king is, who from the very beginning of John's gospel was born as a king. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and then is discovered truly as king on the cross. In other gospels, like in Matthew, also born a king, but the Magi figured out that he is actually a king early on in Jesus' life. But here, kingship comes in death. Kingship comes in the glory of this cross. The kingdom of God is then lived out in this life of Jesus. And it's clear from Jesus that people of the human understanding will never get it, because it's not from this world. Jesus says, if it was from this world, my followers would use the primary tool of this world to establish and keep that power. And what is that primary tool? Violence. To establish and keep power through violence. But Jesus did not defend himself with violence. He didn't claim his power with violence. He didn't take followers with violence. Jesus had a different way of revealing God's kingdom, coming to witness to the truth, bringing the kingdom of God that is revealed through love. So what does this look like in our world? This truth, this love. Because truth, in John's gospel, are these I am statements. You get a little bit of that today with Pilate saying, you're a king, and Jesus says, you say that I am a king. Partnering with those other I am statements in John, and what are some of those? I am the bread of life, the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. Some of these might sound familiar to you. Are you bored yet? Are you confused yet? Because this is so hard to imagine. It is so hard to get a little Snapchat moment of what the kingdom of God is. And it's so hard to grab a hold of. This kingdom, this truth that is revealed in the beginning, that is revealed through Jesus' baptism, that this truly is the Son of God, that's revealed when Jesus invites the disciples to come and you will see, that's revealed to the Samaritan woman, that this is truth in spirit and truth is true worship. That's the revealed in the heart of each of us. Because Jesus' kingdom is here and now. It reigns in us. It's a state of being. It's a way of life. It's committing to a particular worldview. It's about relationship. It's about love and welcome. Now, I don't know about you, but right now, that seems so unrealistic. Right now, it seems very counterintuitive. It seems like that love and that welcome is going to threaten my lifestyle. That it's going to be uncomfortable. That we live in this constant state of tension. A tension of self-preservation versus Jesus' preservation of the whole world. All people. Between the tension of a preconceived narrative that we might have and the narrative that Jesus gives us to live out this kingdom life. How can we possibly imagine a peaceable kingdom when so much is going on in our world? Senseless violence in the Paris attacks, bombings in Lebanon, a Russian plane going down in Baghdad, Syrian refugees. What do we do? People on all sides of the argument doesn't seem to be very peaceable. I don't know about you, but all of my social media feeds and the news outlets are just taking this from one extreme to another. And again, we have our preconceived notions on what we believe depending on what social networks we're listening to and reading, whether that's NPR or MSNBC or Fox News or whatever it might be. We're going to listen to what feeds our preconceived narrative. So as people of God, we live in this tension. This tension of we want to live in a world where we feel safe and secure. And as people of Christ, we want to welcome all with love and wholeness. What do we do as we sit in a tumult time in our world, or even in our neighborhood, as groups of people are getting together to discuss what it means to have homeless living in our woods, living in our county? As people are gathering to fight food famines right here in our own neighborhood, at the schools right next door to this church. What do we do as we live in this tension of reality and God's message of hope and life, that Christ does reign in all of those situations? Now, I began to think that maybe it's just me, that I'm just obsessing over these Syrian refugees and all that's going on in our world and our culture, so I decided to escape culture and go to a restaurant for breakfast. Yep, didn't work. I sat there for a couple of hours, of course, contemplating what to say and do this morning here with you and proclaiming this message. And so in those 2 hours, I had about 8 tables around me, 16 different people, couples, groups came through, and I, as a former server, learned how to eavesdrop very well. And so I sat there looking ever so important, looking at the Bible in my computer, but eavesdropping the whole time. And I would say, out of those 16 tables, 10 of them talked about what's going on in our world. 10 of them. And the two that I will remember forever are the two that were right here just about the whole time. And the one was a couple, I'm imagining they were at least friends, possibly married, arguing ever so loudly about what to do about Syrian refugees. One person saying the border should be locked to all people that are not American. One person saying, but our message is love and hope. Got to be a Christian message under there somewhere. And so it kept getting louder and louder to the point where the manager had to come over and ask this couple, you know, you can continue to talk, but take it down a notch. That was also entertaining. But what caught me was then that became contagious to the next table. There were 8 people shoved into this small booth, and 4 of them were children. And one little boy started picking up on their conversation and said, "Aren't we supposed to love?" So whatever was happening in their conversation before, as they were talking about Thanksgiving plans and where they were each going to be this week and what was happening in their home and in their friend's house, this little boy picked up on something else happening. That there's a larger conversation beyond his little world. And he asked his daddy, "Aren't we supposed to love?" And daddy went on to talk about what does that look like for people that are strangers. Again, a message of hope, a message of love, a message that we live in with this tension of what's happening around us and what we do as families of God, individually and collectively. So what do we do with all of this information? I have no idea. What do we do? How do we respond? Well, there's multiple ways. Pastor Gary mentioned Lutheran World Relief. You can go on any social media network and voice your opinion. You can talk in your families. What does it look like for you to be a part of the worldly conversation with a Christ message of love and hope? Maybe that's what it looks like. Maybe it looks like prayer and witness. Maybe we stop and we pray that God will comfort those who mourn, and that God will strengthen those who seek to get rid of terrorists and bring them to justice. Maybe we pray that changes of heart happen so that no more violence will happen in the world. Maybe we pray that God will equip us to work for peace. And then maybe we witness to the one who demonstrated power through weakness, the one who manifested strength through vulnerability, the one who established justice through mercy, who built the kingdom of God, embracing a world that is confused, that is chaotic, that is violent, who embraced it by taking on that pain, dying that death, and then rising again so that light is stronger than darkness. Love is stronger than hate, so that all things can be possible through God. So we get to pray, and then you get to figure out how to witness. Let's pray. Hear our prayers, O God. Bring healing this day to a world that is so connected. Set us apart in a time of great unrest and uncertainty. We ask for holiness in this time. Search our hearts, renew our minds. Help us to love like you love us. Use us to do your will on this earth. Restore us. Mend our souls with your loving hands. Today, God, we invite you in, and we trust you. We pray that we may be set apart for you, that we may be holy as we live and we love and we share and we be Christ.
Love Christ, share Christ, be Christ, all these things do today, all these things along your way, love Christ, share Christ, be Christ, all these things do today.